And truly, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you and communicate the message that you have given me. O God, our Redeemer. Amen. Today I'm tackling a new challenge. In this sermon, I'm continuing one of Jacob's sermon series on building community. And it's building community as seen through the Gospel of Luke. And I'm not sure whether you are focused on it or understand it, but the Gospel of Luke is the one that is filled with themes of social justice and acceptance and inclusion. That's also what was the theme and the trademarks of the early Christian church. They loved each other. They loved each other because that's exactly what Jesus taught them to do. Jesus taught them to interact lovingly. So far in this series, we've talked about being called to take action when we see injustice or injury. Example was the Good Samaritan. And we do that when we have that opportunity and we stretch to live into that. Then it was honoring and accepting different types of people in our community. And we definitely, and the example was Mary and Martha. And we have our share of Marys and Marthas and a few other individuals. And we accept and embrace them, and we learn to work with them because each of us brings our talents to God. And then, the third week of the series, Jacob planned on how do we pray. And after he asked me to preach today, Jacob gave me links. And I'm not sure of how I'm supposed to give credit, and because this link to the blog, Pulpit Fiction, that Jacob uses is something that I've used extensively in this sermon today, and I want to make sure that I give credit where it's due. And frankly, I don't know how to put footnotes into a sermon, so I'm just saying it now. I looked at that, and it gave me truly some incredibly deep insights into these readings that I really am going to share those insights with you. But these readings are ones that I always thought I knew, I understood, and I got it. I found out there's a lot more. A lot more. Now, I found it interesting, and I have to share. The blog started with a warning. Be careful. There's a lot to preach about here. And at first, I didn't exactly get it until I started delving into things. And good grief, you could do a continuing talk for a long time just on what's here. Right below that was another note. Said, I talked to some older people in a discussion group about the Lord's Prayer. And the responses that I got from them were, it's sort of a lazy prayer. Or when I don't really have or know what else to say. And then, I've seen people in memory care able to say it. And I have to admit, that I've witnessed that myself. Now, I grant that prayer as a subject is really intricately complex topic when it's considered from the perspective of a human being, a human physical being that's trying to have a spiritual experience. If you're looking at prayer from that perspective, it's really tough. Talking to God. Let's see, what can I remember? Oh, yeah. I've been good, so please bring me... Wait a minute. That's Santa Claus. So, I call on you today to change your perspective and remember that we really are spirits that are having a physical experience. We truly are spirits that are living here and now and having a physical experience through the body that we've received. And when you change that perspective, the whole energy of the conversation shifts. It's quite different. Now, today in the readings, there's two perspectives on prayer. They're also quite different. In the first reading, David prayed publicly from a place of gratitude. And the words of his song to God are heady and absolutely beautiful. And this kind of prayer was really in Jesus' background. He knew about it. But royal or public proclamation was not his prayer style. It didn't reflect his relationship with God. So, in the second reading, Jesus was by himself praying in a certain place. We really need to stop and take notice of this. Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped what he was doing, teaching and reaching out to the world, and he went away to a private place to have alone time with Creator God. I'm really not sure that I can even imagine the depth and intensity of that exchange. And Luke records that Jesus did this frequently, often. I made a note here. Take note, change my personal behavior. I pass it on to all of us. If Jesus did this frequently, and that was the basis of a relationship with God, hello, I probably need to do even more. And it was after Jesus finished one of these intense sessions, one of his disciples asked him to teach them to pray. Now, I need to point out, this is not the only place that the Lord's Prayer is recorded in the New Testament. It's also in Matthew 5. And Matthew 5 records Jesus teaching the prayer to his disciples, but the whole chronology and the details of that story, as well as the words of the prayer that's recorded, are different. The words of the prayer in Matthew are more like a royal acclamation, proclamation of God's glory and honor and strength and power and royal estate. That's not what Luke says. Now, I am going to skip the dive into the theological details of the discrepancy between the two passages that Jacob's theology blogs alluded to. It was amazing. But I want to focus on Luke's prayer. Luke's prayer begins with Jesus expressing a deep relationship with God. A deep relationship that was built on familiarity, time spent together, and also linked, totally enmeshed and intertwined with the concept of God's holiness. And the blog told me that in the Greek they used the passive voice on the words there. And the implication of those words is that we're asking God to hallow God's own name. Hold God holding God's own name holy. And I'll go into that just a little bit more in a couple minutes, but basically asking God to act in the world so that God's name is made holy throughout the world. And that involves us also. The next area that it goes into is the phrase, "Thy kingdom come." And here I want to repeat why it is here in MCC that we delete one letter and change that from "Thy kingdom come" to "Thy kingdom come." In changing from kingdom, which is the royal estate and the royal power, to kingdom, which is family, inclusion, God embracing each one of us. What's the focus? What's the focus when we pray? Is it God's royalty or is it God's acceptance? Acceptance and embracing like a really good and intimate family. The petitions that follow in this prayer then flesh out what this relationship really means. When God's name is hallowed and God's kingdom come, there is daily bread for all. Forgiveness is practiced, and God delivers the faithful from the time of trial. Really, if we're going to pray like Jesus taught us in this passage, it calls us to a participation in a new way of living that's really in opposition to a lot of what the world is doing, where it's me, 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 what can I gather, what can I do, pulling everything, the royalness, and to its rulers and kingdoms. This is really a scary path that God asks us to walk. He calls us away from our individualistic notions of God providing, kind of like Santa Claus, that so many people hold. And it places us right in the middle of God's self-giving love. The prayer calls us to live that way, in the middle of God's love. And in case you haven't heard it or you don't remember it from me saying it all the time, the message continues to be, God loves you. God loves each of us. Our spirits are part of God's perspective. And God loves us. And so if we walk into this new allegiance with God, it's probably going to incorporate some practices which might lead to places we didn't expect. The Lord's Prayer really can't be just words that we recite. It's a prayer that we really are called to live each day, each moment, with each encounter. It becomes the choices you make, the grace that you show, the forgiveness you give, and the bread that you share. I call on you to consider this new perspective, this new way of living. And even in the not-so-pretty world that we really live in our reality today, if we are living the Lord's Prayer each day, each minute, I absolutely guarantee you that the world will become a different place. We really are called to be that voice of healing, acceptance, and inclusion in our day-to-day world. And now I'm going to add one additional twist. When you're in your alone time with God, and you're struggling to try to figure out how to communicate with God on this intimate, personal level, I have a suggestion for you. I suggest that part of your focus become praying for other people. Pray for other people that you know are in difficult times. Pray for people. Raise them up to God and ask God that the highest good in their life become manifest. That's an interaction with God that God understands, and its energy is flowing. And if you understand this whole process of prayer as sort of sending positive energy, that's fine. That's also prayer. And when we begin to pray for each other as a congregation, and we stop and we remember each other, then we start feeling God's presence more and more, because we're sharing God's presence more. And that, in turn, will lead naturally to the prayer of St. Francis, where it's, make me an instrument of your peace. Loving God, today we come to you as a congregation of people. We come to you as a congregation of people that's living in different worlds. And you've sent us the message to live out the prayer that you taught us. Keep us ever mindful, O God, to be focused on justice, inclusion, and acceptance in each of our interactions, so that your name continues to be holy through our actions and our life. Give us also the passion to pray for each other, like the early Christians did, supporting them and asking for your blessings to be poured out on them. Help each of us, each day, to live the prayer that you taught us. Amen.